Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, Council Courier, Winter 2026, read by Council Communications Coordinator Nate Wiggehout. In this newsletter, 2025 was another year of hard work and growing relationships. Message from Executive Director Denise Jess. Retiring Development Director Lori Werbekas reflects on evolution of Council's approach to fundraising. Board Member Cole Torres speaks up on pedestrian safety issue in her community. Addressing the needs of the whole person. Welcome Jody Nakwe to the Council team. Welcome Jim Unger to the Council Board of Directors. Council scholarships. And Winter 2026 Sharper Vision Store featured items stay in top shape with these adaptive health products. 2025 was another year of hard work and growing relationships. 2025 has come to a close, bringing an end to another fantastic year at the Council. Quote, I'm proud of our work to promote the dignity and inherent worth of Wisconsinites who are blind and low vision throughout the state, says Council Executive Director Denise Jess. Quote, it's exciting to witness the Council's sphere of influence grow wider and deeper from legislators and judges to other human service providers and the broader public through a variety of events, end quote. We started the year with the creation of our advocacy discussion group. Meeting every other month, this group serves as a space for people who are blind or low vision across the entire state to grow as advocates at both the local and state level. Since its launch in January, the group has developed a dedicated group of participants who support each other in their advocacy journeys. During the first half of the year, state lawmakers crafted the 2025-27 biennial state budget. As in past budget years, the Council worked tirelessly with lawmakers to advocate for programs that benefit people who are blind or low vision. Our advocacy didn't just address the budget, however, as we also weighed in on a variety of proposed legislation throughout the year that affects people with vision loss. Photo, a group of people on a path looking across a field, a couple of them using binoculars. The Council continued many of its long-standing events in 2025. We once again hosted Advocacy Days in May, returning to the state capitol to give participants the opportunity to meet with their state representatives to discuss issues important to the blind and low-vision community. Also in May, we collaborated with the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance and the Aldo Leopold Nature Center in Monona for Birding by Ear, where a diverse group of participants identified over 50 species of birds by sound instead of by sight. And over the course of the year, we held 4 Dining in the Dark events, offering participants in Reedsburg, Cross Plains, Mount Horeb, and Madison the opportunity to focus on senses other than sight as they appreciate the dining experience. Photo, a group of blindfolded people sitting at a table eating. As summer approached, we announced our 2025 Council Scholarship recipients. We awarded $2,000 scholarships to 4 young women from across the state, each at a different stage in their post-secondary journey. Congratulations to all of our 2025 recipients. Summer also brought the arrival of Kate Blyle Erickson as the newest member of the Council's Vision Services team, filling the newly created position of Vision Services Navigator. Recognizing that people who are blind or low vision often have unmet needs outside the scope of what the Council can provide, the Council added this role to help our clients connect with other community services to address such issues as food insecurity, isolation, and transportation access. Having Kate on board has enabled us to support the whole person rather than focus narrowly on their vision services needs. Photo. A Green Bay Metro bus with an ad on the side reading, Intersections are for everyone. October marked 2 important and interlocking events, Pedestrian Safety Month and White Cane Safety Day. The council continued to advocate for safer streets for all pedestrians across the state, with 42 local governments and the state of Wisconsin issuing proclamations formally recognizing October as Pedestrian Safety Month and the 15th as White Cane Safety Day. The council also ran bus ads in La Crosse, Waukesha, and Green Bay. While our bus ads have highlighted White Cane Safety Day in the past, this year our ads had a broader Pedestrian Safety Month focus, featuring the theme of, quote, intersections are for everyone, end quote. In November, we opened our doors to the public for our annual Gallery Night event. This year, we featured the work of 11 Wisconsin artists who are blind or low vision. Their work included paintings, drawings, photography, ceramics, fiber arts, and even artisanal chainmail jewelry. Gallery Night 2025 was one of our most successful ever, with over 100 visitors stopping by to appreciate the art while learning more about the council. Photo: people examining art hanging on a wall. Toward the end of the year, we released a new video, quote, Exceptional Welcoming Services for Blind and Low Vision Transportation Users, end quote. The purpose of this video is to help specialized transportation drivers better understand how to provide a safe, comfortable, and accessible ride to passengers with vision loss, empowering them to stay engaged in the community. The video was made in partnership with Clouds North Films, with funding from an anonymous foundation. Janesville Transit was also instrumental in bringing the video to life. You can find the video on our YouTube channel. Throughout the year, the council reached out into the community at a variety of educational events. As usual, we tabled or presented at many health fairs and senior centers. But 2025 saw the council reach out to a more diverse array of audiences than ever before. For example, staff spoke at the Wisconsin Judicial Conference on the importance of accessible and welcoming courtrooms, at the UW College of Engineering on empowering the blind and low vision community on campus, and in staff trainings for the state's Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired on access technology and the role of the Vision Services Navigator. Thank you to the many individuals, service organizations, funders, and businesses who supported the council financially throughout the year. Those gifts allowed us to advocate on critical issues, put on numerous successful educational events, and provide vision services to every client regardless of their ability to pay. We're excited to continue this work into 2026. Message from Executive Director Denise Jess. Photo of Denise Jess. 2027 marks the council's 75th anniversary. As we gear up to celebrate, we reflect on our rich history, our present environment, the opportunities and challenges in front of us, and our desired organizational future. These reflections have led us to an exciting endeavor to seek a new organizational name and logo, approved by our Board of Directors in 2024 as part of our 2025 through 27 strategic plan. Throughout the year, we'll engage in a robust process to, quote, rebrand, end quote, the council, in a way that honors our legacy and 75 years of promoting the dignity of people who are blind and low vision, while embracing a future with increasing diversity and life experiences of people experiencing vision loss. These are some of the compelling factors that led to this decision. Our current name causes a lot of confusion. It is very similar to the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired, a state agency that offers some of the same services we do. We get calls intended for them all the time. It is also very similar to the Wisconsin Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired, the school in Janesville. We even have the same initials, WCBVI. For those new to vision loss and their families and caregivers, this leads to uncertainty about where to turn. Our current name is too long and cumbersome. People get it wrong quite often. It doesn't even fit into the space allowed on many online forms we must fill out. Having people recognize our name and note it correctly strengthens our organizational identity. Our current name does not reflect how we have evolved over time. We are not really a, quote, council, end quote. This term often leads people to believe we are a governmental agency. Also, we have moved beyond the language of, quote, impairment, end quote, which suggests there is something, quote, wrong, end quote, with people who are blind or low vision. We recognize those in the council's orbit may have a host of feelings about the change, ranging from excitement to grief. We're giving ourselves a year and working with a top-notch Madison-based marketing firm to engage key voices in the renaming process. We also hold true to our mission to promote the dignity, independence, and empowerment of people who are blind or low vision, and our lasting commitment to our values of inclusion, integrity, and uncompromising respect. Stay tuned as this process moves forward. We'll formally announce the changes in early 2027. Warmly, Denise. Retiring Development Director Lori Werbeckes reflects on evolution of Council's approach to fundraising. Photo: three light-skinned women sitting in chairs in front of a sign reading, Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. In December, Lori Werbeckes' tenure as Development Director at the Council came to an end as she began her well-deserved retirement. Lori joined the council in August 2013 and for a dozen years helped shape the way the council raises money to support the services and advocacy we provide. Congratulations on 12 great years and the beginning of your next phase in life, Lori. Quote, I am truly grateful for all Lori has done to uplift the importance and value of fund development at the council, particularly with establishing and nurturing long-term relationships with our donors, says Executive Director Denise Jess. Quote, her warmth and genuine kindness, along with her expertise and skills, have been such a gift, end quote. Over the years, donations have increased thanks to the support of everyone who believes in the Council's mission to promote the dignity and empowerment of people who are blind or low vision in Wisconsin. With donor support, the Council has been able to grow in all our core areas: advocacy, vision services, and education. Throughout her time at the Council, Lori has set the tone in how we show appreciation to our loyal donors. Along the way, Lori created several recognition clubs. The Legacy Circle recognizes those who have named the council in their will or as a beneficiary. Friends of the council give $500 or more annually. White Cane Circle members make monthly gifts. Council visionaries are those who have contributed $20,000 or more over their lifetime. This recognition highlights the many different ways people give to the council and encourages others to give. How we thank and interact with our donors has evolved during Lori's time with the council, with a growing emphasis on building relationships. Over the past decade, we have added personal greetings in every thank you letter we send. We also began writing personalized notes to our regular supporters during our annual White Cane Appeal, and started reaching out to donors in some form nearly every month. Lori says adding new ways to communicate with our donors has helped us build better relationships with those interested in the council. Quote, it's a privilege to connect with someone who wants to give with an organization that is serving a cause the donor is passionate about, Lori says. Quote, for many people, making a gift is personal, so their action deserves to be acknowledged with the same amount of thought. The result is a donor base that knows how their gifts are being used, which then translates into our donors feeling informed and involved in the council, end quote. The way our development team works to grow our donor base has also seen big changes over the past 12 years. When we reach out to the community, we do so to educate the public about the services the council provides. We've grown our Dining in the Dark events, which serve as both an educational experience for the public and a fundraiser for the council, to 8 different venues in different parts of Wisconsin. We've offered sponsorship opportunities for events like Gallery Night and the Big Share to build connections with local businesses. Speaking of the Big Share, an annual fundraising event orchestrated by Community Shares of Wisconsin, CSW, we grew our emphasis on peer-to-peer fundraising and delivered collaborative presentations with other CSW organizations. Along the way, we began sending letters to Lions clubs across Wisconsin to foster new and continuing relationships. We've grown internal support by building workplace giving campaigns around fun contests like chili cook-offs and mocktail contests, and encouraged all members of our board of directors to become donors. Change is constantly happening at the council, and we are excited to see how our development strategy continues to evolve in the years to come. As Lori moves on to the next stage in her life, Debbie Rasmussen, a member of the council's development team since 2022, has been named development director. Congratulations, Lori, and thank you for 12 wonderful years of helping the council grow. Board member Cole Torres speaks up on pedestrian safety issue in her community. Photo: a person walking a dog across the street in a crosswalk. Council board member Cole Torres first moved to Menominee Falls several years ago and has been in her current apartment on a busy three-lane road for about 2 years. Cole has two dogs, one of whom is old and walks slowly due to arthritis. That's a problem, Cole says, as the only place for her dogs to do their business is across this busy road. While the road in front of Cole's apartment building has a crosswalk, it's not signalized, and drivers often fail to stop when she is trying to cross. After a particularly close call, Cole decided it was time to speak up. Quote, I waited until the cars were over 100 yards away. They saw me from a long distance, and yet they didn't stop, Cole says. Quote, we were in the road and the car never even slowed down. I walk ahead of my dog because he is so slow, and I was almost hit by this speeding car. Then the car behind them honked at me. I wondered if I was in the wrong, but I did everything right, end quote. From her experience working with the council, Cole knew she had to do something. Cole did some digging and decided to reach out to her local police department to let them know about the incident. To her surprise, they got back to her right away. State law says that drivers must yield to pedestrians in a crosswalk, but as Cole found out, drivers will often try and speed through the intersection instead, putting the safety of the pedestrian at risk. The local police said that while they could not force every driver to obey the law, they could use their resources to make the crosswalk a little safer for pedestrians. Quote, not even an hour after I got off the phone with them, an officer was at the crosswalk, Cole says. Quote, it was such a pleasant experience. They told me they were going to try and place a safety officer to watch the intersection and help pedestrians cross the street safely for a few hours every day, end quote. While the road has already been made safer thanks to the presence of the safety officer, they still cannot do much until after a driver breaks the law. Cole says her advocacy journey is not done, and she is getting ready to talk with her local and county officials about other ways they can make the intersection safer. Cole saw a tragedy waiting to happen, and instead of just hoping for the best, she decided to speak up and advocate for her own safety. Thanks to her role with the council, she says she had the resources she needed to bring tangible change to her own neighborhood. Quote, I started my advocacy journey just before October, which I knew was Pedestrian Safety Month, to give myself a little encouragement and momentum, Cole says. Quote, I used that momentum and the pedestrian safety toolkit from the council to really inform how I spoke with my local officials. Anyone can do what I did. You just need to have a little patience. Don't get too discouraged if things don't move as quickly as you'd like. Find someone who believes in you and your voice to uplift you. Find your allies, end quote. With a little support and the willingness to tell your story, anyone can be an advocate in their own community. If you want to advocate for pedestrian safety in your neighborhood but don't know where to start, visit the advocacy page on our website at wcblind.org/advocacy for some ideas. Addressing the needs of the whole person. Georgette Stack says her vision loss started in just one night. After waking up, seeing through a white fog, she went to her doctor, who informed her she had a vitreous hemorrhage in one eye. A year later, a change in medication caused her to lose most of the vision in her other eye. Quote, I went through the emotional roller coaster of realizing my vision was gone, Georgette says. Quote, I decided to go to the council just to see what could be done, end quote. Georgette started with Vision Services Navigator Kate Blyle Erickson, who led her through an extended intake process. The purpose of intake is to get to know the client and determine what she needed to continue living life on her own terms. Georgette then met with Education and Vision Services Director Amy Werf for low vision therapy. Amy worked with Georgette to find magnifiers that helped her to read again, albeit very slowly, given how little functional vision she has. Next, she worked with Access Technology Specialist Jim Denham to help her relearn how to use her phone without vision. Jim helped her get a phone that allows her to use voice controls to make calls. Orientation and Mobility Specialist Brent Przentka helped Georgette obtain a white cane and begin learning how to use it. Now, with an upgraded titanium cane, she says she uses it to safely navigate unfamiliar places and is even going for walks around her neighborhood. Georgette also spends time investigating the Sharper Vision store with the help of customer care specialist Greg Schmidt. Quote, "I always like to explore and see what I can see in the store," Georgette says. Quote, "Greg has been so great at showing me new things," end quote. In addition to the services our Vision Services team provides directly, they bring a well of information on how to improve every aspect of a client's life and well-being. Quote, "The intake and training are not solely about what is happening with the eyes, but about the whole person, mind, and body," Amy says. Quote, "Each of us listens to our clients to pick up clues to other concerns or needs that might not have been expressed initially. We keep all the training areas in mind and how they might be important for our client to explore. In addition, we provide referrals to other professionals and agencies who might be more appropriate to meet some of their needs. We don't need to be experts in all things, but we listen and help guide our clients to other reliable and trusted providers when appropriate," end quote. Quote, "It's become obvious that my vision isn't coming back," Georgette says. Quote, "But instead, they are finding ways to help me in my everyday life to make things easier every day. Without these services, I would probably have shied away from people. With their encouragement, I feel I have a positive future," end quote. As she continues along her vision loss journey, Georgette says she looks forward to returning to some of her favorite places in Madison, such as the UW-Madison Arboretum, to experience the lilacs again with her new skills. Quote, "I was starting to get a little reclusive," Georgette says. Quote, "But the council is helping open up my world again," end quote. Welcome Jody Nakwe to the council team. Photo of Jody Nakwe smiling for the camera. We are pleased to welcome Jody Nakwe as the newest member of the council staff. Jody joined the team on November 10th as development specialist. In this position, Jody will play a vital role in maintaining donor records, securing grants, and assisting with other projects as a member of the development team. Jody comes to the council after nearly two decades working as a social scientist and research analyst, specializing in international public opinion research. Searching for something new, Jody was encouraged to apply by her neighbor, who had received services from the council in the past. Outside of work, Jody is a pianist and loves to work in her native plant garden. Quote, "I'm so excited to work with the council as development specialist," Jody says. Quote, "I look forward to working with a nonprofit organization that has relationships with other groups across the state that are making a difference," end quote. Welcome to the team, Jody. Welcome Jim Unger to the council board of directors. Photo, a light-skinned man sitting on a bench with a guide dog in front of a baggage claim carousel. We are pleased to welcome Jim Unger as the newest member of the council's board of directors. Jim, who lives in Rhinelander, has over 40 years of experience in the blind and low vision rehabilitation field. Most recently, he worked for the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired, OBVI, as a vision rehabilitation therapist until his retirement in 2019. Since then, Jim has continued to provide access technology training on a contractual basis to clients around the area. Jim has atypical retinitis pigmentosa, which has progressed slowly over his entire life. He is a guide dog user, having gotten his first dog in 2013. Jim co-facilitates the Rhinelander Low Vision Support Group and says members of the group encouraged him to apply to join the board. Quote, "It means a lot to me to be a board member," Jim says. Quote, "I've been around the council for basically my entire professional life and know the value of their work to make life better for people with vision loss. I've already been promoting the council any chance I get because they're such an important resource to people across Wisconsin." End quote. Welcome to the board, Jim. Council scholarships. Each year, the council provides post-secondary scholarships to students who are blind or low vision. The application period for 2026 council scholarships opens in February. For more information and to access the application materials, visit wcblind.org/events/scholarships. Winter 2026 Sharper Vision Store featured items. Stay in top shape with these adaptive health products. 5X and 10X zoom mirror on gooseneck. Two powerful 5 3/4 inch mirrors with 5X and 10X magnification. The 9-inch flexible gooseneck adjusts to any angle. Comes with wall mount and slide-on suction cup for mounting bracket. Product number MX905. 5X hand mirror with vanity stand. This 7X magnification hand mirror comes with a detachable vanity stand that makes it great for those, quote, finishing touches, end quote. When held by the handle or used with a detachable vanity stand, it's a perfect mirror for home or travel. The mirror is mounted in a 7-inch diameter with a clear acrylic beveled frame. Product number MX907. 10X lighted LED mirror. This mirror provides crisp, bright LED light and 10X magnification to help you see yourself and get ready. The mirror pivots so you can adjust the angle, and the backside is a mirror with no magnification. Battery powered with 4 AA batteries included. Product number MX960. LED mirror 5X. This mirror provides crisp, bright LED light and 5X magnification to help you see yourself and get ready. The mirror pivots so you can adjust the angle, and the backside is a mirror with no magnification. Battery powered with 4 AA batteries included. Product number MX950. Auto drop eye drop guide. The eye drop guide holds the eye open so a drop can be placed in. The guide provides easy control so less medication will be wasted. Product number HM601. Lighted nail clip with magnifier. Lighted nail clipper with magnifier. Product number HM610. No contact talking thermometer. This no contact infrared thermometer can measure temperature when held 2 to 4 inches from the forehead or behind the earlobe. It can remember up to 32 temperature readings, speaks temperature in both English and Spanish, and can also be used for room temperature. Product number HM245. Pill organizer, 7-day. This colorful pill box has sections for dosages 4 times a day, 7 days a week. This organizer is great for people on multiple medications each day. It features color-coded day and time compartments so you don't miss a dose and to reduce medication misuse. Product number HM101. Recordable talking alarm clock, pill reminder. The Your Minder recordable talking alarm clock has speakers on both sides of the clock and can be programmed for 6 daily alarms. The LCD display has a bold, easy-to-see font to show the time and date and color-coded buttons located on top. This clock can also act as an electronic pill reminder by individually recording messages to play at each alarm. Product number HM801. Small Braille pill box. 7 individual pill compartments in a single compact plastic container, marked in Braille and standard alphabet for each day of the week. Product number HM102. Superior Talking Scale XL, 550 pounds. The Superior Talking Scale is accurate to within 1% of actual weight up to 550 pounds. The platform measures 14.5 by 11 inches and is textured to indicate foot placement. It speaks in English or Spanish in a female voice and operates on 4 AA batteries included. Voice can be turned off. Product number HM400XL. Talking Blood Glucose Monitor. The Progeny Voice is a talking blood glucose monitoring system that provides accuracy with just a small sample of blood. Results are announced clearly and records can be stored with the date and time. Product number HM232. Talking Blood Pressure Meter. This talking blood pressure meter gives the average of 3 consecutive readings. The monitor has a 90 reading memory recall, irregular heartbeat detection, time and date stamping, and a pressure rating indicator. Verbal readings are available in English and Spanish. An AC adapter, carrying case, and batteries are included. The cuff is 9 to 14.6 inches. Product number HM272. Talking Blood Pressure Meter Wrist Style. Talking Blood Pressure Monitor offers a clear speaking voice and ease of use. It has one-touch operation, irregular heartbeat detection, two-person memory storage with 90 measurements each, LCD displays with 3 color backlighting, and averaging of last 3 measurements. Product number HM705. Talking Clinical Thermometer. This talking thermometer works for oral or underarm use and responds quickly to your body temperature. Accuracy is within 0.2 degrees Fahrenheit or 0.1 degrees Celsius. It has 6 language settings. Battery powered, batteries included. Product number HM246. Talking Pedometer. A little exercise every day can help you stay healthy. This talking pedometer measures and announces steps, calories, distance, and total activity time. It can also announce the current time and has a 7-day memory. The pause function allows you to stop and resume measurements as needed. Product number HM500. Backpage. Did you know that the Council Courier is available in Braille and audio formats? To request an alternative format or update your mailing address, call us at 608-255-1166. The Council also publishes weekly e-newsletters that include features, helpful tips, advocacy information, upcoming events, and more. You can subscribe at wcblind.org/newsletter-signup. This has been Council Communications Coordinator Nate Wuggehout reading the Winter 2026 Council Courier Newsletter.